Why do you think you were able to get so much out of him? I mean, he was a DRC kind of had a up and down two seasons before Philadelphia, and you guys seem to be able to extract a lot of that talent that a lot of people see.
You know, it was his doing. You know, I think guys, you know, when you break it down for them, and you know, each year you do, and you know, this is your profession. How do you, you know, what are they going to remember you for? You know, I think the guy, our coaching staff, our DB coaches, Corey Unlin and Sam Garns, I think, you know, have good people skills. They, you know, understand players, and you know, they're the ones with them every day. So it's really, you know, kind of on them. But
how about Champ? How was he in his ear? Is that someone that was?
Oh yeah,
that
I mean,
was in his ear a lot?
Yes, I mean, he sat next to Champ. Champ was, you know, a great leader for us the 3 years I've been here, and I can't thank him enough for what he did for me and our organization. But he sat next to him. You know, so I'll give DRC that. He was smart enough to have that seat. You know, and he got better. He did. He's a very talented player.
Tough to part ways with Champ.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's unfortunately, I've had too many of those, you know, where you have to do that. But, yeah, it's, you know, I'll miss him. You know, we'll miss him. But it's a business. You know, this happens. I've had to, you know, whether it's Jake DeLome or Jesse Armstead, that's always hard.
You coach, you worked so hard and had such a great season just to get to the Super Bowl. And obviously, a tremendous disappointment the way your team played. Have you figured out what happened? So out of character for the way you guys played?
Yeah, we didn't play well, and they played really good. I mean, I don't want to take any of the hate from them. They won the game. And dealt with it, and now we're into another season.
From your experience in Super Bowls, do you find that there's ever a carryover effect to the next season that you have to work on them a little bit mentally?
No. You know, when you don't win your last game, you have no choice but to go into the next season. And, you know, we've done it three straight years. I don't think it had any effect on the following season.
Are you hoping there's no boats in Arizona?
Yeah, I think you're looking at one.
It took me a while, all right, but I got it.
We saw you coming around.
Oh, I was like,
I saw the light.
I'm going down to Marco. I'm going to get on my boat. I was like, what is he talking about?
No,
yeah, they probably won't. Let's have a moat
not
somewhere.
Marco.
Yeah. I've already moved on. Now. I'm like, boats. I can't wait to get on my boat tomorrow.
What's your takeaway from? Now that you have added some pieces to your defense, what's your takeaway now on what you want to do, especially, if anything, on your offensive line, remaining in free agency or the draft?
You know, we needed to increase our pass rush. We lost an important cog a year ago, never really replaced it, did our best for what we had to do it and the timing. You know, and then, like I said, we played a large part of our season without six starters on defense. You know, I mean, our one, you know, from a year before, probably our most productive, best player didn't play but about six games on defense. That's Von Miller. I think we can improve a lot. And we dropped off a lot. We were from like second in the league in defense to like 22nd, all right, from the year before to this year. So it's an area of our football team we can get better and expect to get better. You know, offensively, you know, if you look at production on the season, I think there's some areas, you know, that we need to improve. Like I said, the run efficiency. You know, the kicking game, we've got our, you know, specialists locked up. But, you know, when you get more team speed and you don't have the six injured players on defense and drop down six spots on special teams, you know, that has a, you know, an effect. You know, we just need to get healthy and reload and start over again. You know, I think kind of like I'm sure everybody else thinks the same way, but yeah, I think there's areas that are going to be questions. The O-line, because we lost, you know, really, you know, Eric Decker. You know, I mean, you know, we've got Emmanuel Sanders now. So from my perspective, I mean, you start over again. It's a whole different personality. The team's different. And then you start building that when they start letting us, you know, start working again. You know, that all starts. That's the fun part about doing it.
Who's your returner right now?
Probably Emmanuel. You know, plus 50, you know, we'd probably still go with Wes.
On the punt?
Yeah. kickoff wise, Emmanuel's done both. He did more just kickoffs in Pittsburgh because AB did the punts. But you know, he's capable of doing both. You know, and he's a good young player, man. I loved him coming out. We had him in Carolina when he came out in the draft. You know, so he's another guy that, you know, on research, very smart guy, can play every spot, knows every spot. You know, a little bit different kind of receiver than Eric, but, you know, guy we're looking forward to getting to work with.
How do you think Eric will do transitioning from Peyton Manning to James Smith?
You know, I think, you know, Eric's a good player. You know, he did a lot of great things for us. He's big. You know, he's tough in the red area. He's got good size. He's smart. I don't know all that other stuff. But, you know, he's a real good player.
When did DeMarcus Ware get on your radar? This could be an actual field.
Well, probably after he got cut, because before that, you can't get involved.
but you could think about it. I mean, because the fact that the Cowboys could actually cut him was something that sort of wasn't reality until.
Well, I think it's probably like guys that with juniors coming out. All right, you know, you hear stuff, you do that, but I mean, seriously, negotiate. And we grade every player in the league, anyways. You know, I mean, whether they're cut or uncut. So we're aware. Well, no, you just, that's what you do. Your pro personnel department does that, all right, even for competition. So when we play. We play the Dallas Cowboys. I've got a write-up on Ware, you know, that our pro department does, and everybody in the league does it. So it's not like we're not familiar with guys that play in our league and we compete against. So you've got an evaluation on every player in the league right now, every day. All right, you know, it's changing now because people are changing teams. So you know, that's part of coaching is knowing your opponent, knowing the, you know, the talent and the weaknesses and strengths, you know, of your opponent. So, you know of guys, but you can't mess with them until they're free or released. Or, you know. I don't know if that answers your question, but I.
Well, how do you, you know, obviously the production speaks for itself.
It's right.
Like the last year wasn't quite.
He played with one arm. He had a pretty serious elbow injury all season. That can affect your production.
Slightly. Yeah.
Coach, yesterday you saw a presentation by Wade Davis about gay players in the NFL. What did you think of the presentation?
I thought it was the most incredible presentation I've seen since I've been here, and I've been here for a long time. You know, I think it's obvious a thing that has become a bigger part of our NFL. Like everything, you've got to learn how to motivate and deal with your locker room. You know, it is a brotherhood, it is a family, and, you know, you need diversification in everything, even sexual orientation. That's got to be in the conversation now, all right? So I thought it was pretty profound. It was definitely eye-opening for me. But I, like I said, I enjoyed it as much as anything I've seen since I've been here.
Has the topic been something you've discussed with your coaching staff from office?
You know, that's, I've probably not done as good a job of that up till now, but after Wade's presentation, it's high on my list first time I talk to my staff when I get back and my football team.
Coach, with Champ and Wesley and Zane and Coop, you lost a lot of leaders
right
out of that locker room. How do you, I guess, mortify that going ahead?
Well, I think it's the people you select moving forward. I mean, I think guys we've added, I think, have that potential. I mean, I haven't had them all in the same room yet. But I can say that, you know, that's very high on your list, has been, and that's character. Leadership, all the things that you are important in team building. So I think, you know, it's going to be hard to do. We'll miss them, but, you know, people plug back in. You know, we believe we try to bring the kind of guys in that locker room that will self-govern. And hopefully we've done so, and we'll start working on it when we get going.
Can I say a general draft question?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at smaller school guys,
yeah.
Say the defensive end of Buffalo.
Right.
What do you need to see to know that they can – transition?
You know, you always take into consideration the level of comp, all right? And it's not so much just what they do, because you have a pretty good picture of what their athleticism is by the combine gymnastics. So really the biggest thing for small school and not so small is the level of comp. And so those are the things you weed through. I don't want to bore you with going through all the ways. You know, did they play in a bowl game? Is there any evidence of maybe the level of competition bumped up? You know what I mean? Because of the Senior Bowl or because of the East-West game.
So like Quanteros, when you saw his Alabama game.
Right, right. That would be all of a sudden, and there'll be those games for some small schools. You know what I mean? Because these guys got to make money and, they'll have that money game where they'll play an FCC school or something like that. And then you're dealing with people, so it's not an exact science, but that's kind of how you look for evidence of that. You know, whether it was an opponent, an upgrade, whether they're playing the bowl game. And because you get a pretty good picture of their raw talent, from the combine and the short shuttle and the 40 and all that stuff. It's just the question mark usually is level of comp.
John, Orlando Franklin, there's been buzz maybe of moving him perhaps to guard from right tackle. If I recall, he is one of the highest rated guards by, I think, Pro Football Focus had him, right tackles the year before, but he really struggled in the Super Bowl. Can you just speak to that in general and whether moving to guard is a possibility?
Well, I think what that buzz is, we've got Ryan Clady coming back, and, we had a kid play left tackle, all right, the whole season that maybe he wasn't in the top five to start the season. We lost left guard as Zane Beatles in free agency. I don't know that it's so much he struggled at right tackle. It's that we're trying to get our best five on the field, and there'll be a lot of different formulas for that. He was prepared to play guard last year. All right, an offensive line coach just can't leave you in one spot the whole season. Flexibility is really important, especially when 100% of the teams are going into games with seven linemen for five spots, and something happens. There's usually three different recoils of that. Orlando Franklin's a good player for us. He's one of our top five linemen. He was a year ago, was a year before that. They'll determine who plays where, but that could be one of the possibilities.
Okay. John, when you come to a place and you're trying to establish a culture of how your team is going to be run, there's some things you specifically do to establish that culture. What are they?
Well, I think a lot of things. First of all, your team has to trust you. All right, so you try to earn trust. You have to trust each other. All right, because if you're gonna, depend on the guy, you got to trust him. We have a kind of a formula, a plan. I don't want to share it because I don't want anybody stealing it. But it's a way to build that, just like you would. This is how we're going to run this play. And it's about teamwork. It's about doing things for somebody bigger than yourself. Just like you teach somebody how to write a paper, you teach somebody how to be a friend and how to cooperate and how to be involved in a team. I've done it for about 12 years.
So is there one part of it that you can describe without giving away the big?
I think a lot of those things. Being a friend, real friendship, cooperation. Obviously, nothing happens without hard work and enthusiasm. There's a difference between hard work and enthusiasm. You see people that they're industrious. I mean, that's hard work with enthusiasm. I think that's something unique to capture. There's all kind of different words.
Okay. Was there a moment where one of your guys seemed to get it and seemed to understand it?
Well, I think our guys all understand it. Do they execute it perfectly every play? No. All right, but they, they get it. And, I think people are starting to understand in our league and here. I think coaches have kind of known it for a long time because they're down there with them every day. The importance of it. It's, you want to create that family type values and core beliefs, character, so because they're with each other all the time and you need that kind of, those kind of values to be the best you can be.
John, will it feel
a little more pressure or expectations when you have Peyton Manning? You know, I know when you're in Carolina, you tried to win the Super Bowl every year there too. But is it different with the Broncos, especially after you got Peyton?
You know, I don't think so. I think, I mean, really, I didn't feel any difference. I mean, really, whether it was Jake or the many quarterbacks I had there, you know, I mean, we went to the playoffs with Tim Tebow, you know. I mean, so it was my first year. To get Peyton was obviously, you know, he's a great player. But I think, you know, I think everybody in this room is going to be, you know, now or even later, you know, we put pressure on ourselves, you know what I mean? There's 32 pretty competitive dudes around here, and I don't know that having a certain quarterback affects that, you know, versus not. You know, you feel that pressure all the time as a coach, at least I do.
What are some things you remember from your first year?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing is, I'd say, is be yourself. Most of us aren't smart enough to be anybody else, all right? You know, and you kind of are what you eat, so you are what you've been around, and you've already kind of formulated what you're going to be as a head coach, or kind of what you are as a coach, period. And then just be yourself. You know, all these guys know how to work hard. I mean, that, you know, it's not like anything they're going to have to learn with that. It's, and you don't get to spend much time with football. I mean, you're managing people, you know. I didn't want to be a head coach for a long time because of that. But, you know, then I kind of decided that's something I wanted to try. And it was, you know, I actually enjoy it, the managing of the people, whether it's your coaching staff. You know, hiring a staff's the most, you know, real important thing to begin with. And then just managing people. And then, you know, you got your own leadership style. And, you know, but be yourself probably be the first thing I tell guys. And I've had a couple guys go on.
John, I imagine it's always emotionally difficult to lose a Super Bowl and get refocused again.
I would say that's a good imagination.
And you've lost one close and one, you know, one-sided game. Is there a difference?
Not really. You know, the yellow rope still comes up, gives you a rope burn. You don't get to stick around for the confetti. You don't get to hoist the trophy. And that doesn't matter whether it's 1 point or 100 points. You know, it's just the reality of not doing it. But it's fun going there. It's a good week. But like I said, you know, there's only one happy team at the end of all this, and, you know, everybody else loses their last game. So, you know, that's kind of what our league is. Someday I'm hoping to get to do that.
But it's not more devastating to lose it by being dominated like
that. I mean, you're asking me personally? Not really. You know, it's like a regular season game. You lose by 1 or 21. You know, it's just you can't – when you lose that one, you don't go on to the next game. Next week, it's next season.
Are you surprised that there hasn't been more interest in Moreno as a free agent? And is there a point at which he becomes an option for you again?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we always have the door open. Am I surprised? Yes, because I think he had a very productive year. I think, you know, I really like Noshan. I wish nothing but the best for him, whether it's with us or anywhere. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't been a year ago it was DBs. And you can't explain it. Just sometimes it just falls goofy. And I'm surprised there's not been an interest in a lot of the backs, not just Noshan. I think it might be more positional than anything. Is it surprising? Yes. Is it surprising? No. You know, I mean, nothing surprises me anymore. But that's a little different, and that seems to be the position this year that kind of went that way.
You made a pretty significant guaranteed investment in DeMarcus Ware and moved really quick to get him. And this is a guy who's been in Dallas for 9 years, and they were trying to get him to accept a pay reduction. What is it that you've seen in him that makes you believe that he can prove worthy of that level of commitment?
Well, I mean, anytime you're dealing with people, I mean, there's some risk. You know, we went and got a guy 18 a couple years ago that, you know, there was some risk. All right? That turned out pretty good. So I think with DeMarcus, you know, we saw enough evidence, kind of knew what he dealt with a year ago, you know, to where we feel pretty good about the commitment.
Do you think he's better in your kind of system as a stand-up outside guy rather than standing on the ground the line?
You know, we do that with Vaughn a little bit. There's situations where, you know, DeMarcus will have his hand down. There'll be situations where he's in a two-point. And we've done that quite a bit, you know, with Vaughn Miller. You know, it's a comfort level even on their part. But, you know, I think sometimes too much is made about the 3-4 and the 4-3. They're all kind of the same, just what defense the call is. You know, other than, like, one lineup, it's the only difference. And hardly nobody ever runs it. But I think he'd be productive in either one.
It seemed like DeMarcus talked more about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you talked to him about when you were at that point with him?
I mean, we put a lot of research into players, and we don't discount their values, their core values, their character, their ability to lead. We think that's all part of performance.
Is it difficult for a guy even established like him to come into a Super Bowl team like that and say, I'm going to be a leader?
Nah, football players are football players. You know, I think, you know, the faces change, numbers change, but there's a, you know, there's a similarity between, you know, locker rooms and football players as well. So I think he'll do just fine.
Like, Noshon's not that. Just talk about Monte Ball. What's your expectation?
I mean, he's a tremendous young player. He improved a lot. We needed him to a year ago. I thought he's, you know, he turned into a pro. I mean, he understands how to prepare. Sometimes that may take a while. It didn't take him as long. So we're looking for him to make good leaps.
Did you see him in that lead back role, obviously?
Well, he'll determine that, you know, based on how he prepares and produces again this year.
You think Derek Rose turned the corner on that deal over there?
Yeah, I think he's definitely improved, you know, turned the corner. I don't, you know, I can't say that yet, you know, but he feels a lot better. I know that he's been over working out some, and he appears to be doing well.